Well, good morning. You guys may be seated. My name is Gina Hawkins, and it's my super honor to speak today. You know, I think our journey of faith can be boiled down to one single question, and it's, what do I believe about God? And I think this is one of the most important questions that we will ever ask and have answered, because what we determine about God will determine what we believe about ourselves. So what we believe about God will determine what we believe about ourselves, and what we believe about ourselves will determine how we live our lives. I should start by sharing a little bit of this journey that I've been on. I think it's a journey we're all on. Over the last several years, I've just been really diving in even more intently into the Word and reading anything that I can get my hands on about the nature of God, how He moves, and His will for us. When we think about our relationship with God, we often reflect on His relentless pursuit of us. We talk about it, we sing songs about it, we praise Him for it. It is a beautiful and powerful truth that gives us a glimpse of God's all-consuming and His all-powerful love that He has for us. And as much as we talk about God's relentless pursuit of us, we don't talk a lot about our pursuit of God. And toward the end of last year, that was a thought that just started resonating in my mind. And I'm not one to typically make New Year's resolutions. I'm the type of person that by Friday, I've already given up. But this year, I wanted it to be different. This year, I decided to make a resolution that still cast its shadow over many of my choices and my actions today. My New Year's resolution for 2019 was to chase Jesus. And it has been such an incredible year. I cannot even begin to explain the encounters that I've had with God. You know, in January, I asked God to just blow up the box that I had put Him in. And as I was scrolling through my phone a couple of weeks ago, I came across this quote that I had put in there from Tony Blakely. And it said, "The only time we find God in a box is when He comes in and finds us there." So as I spent the majority of the past 2 years studying and praying, specifically the Holy Spirit and His role in our lives, I had to be honest with myself and with God. Holy Spirit scared me a little bit. I've seen people manipulate other believers all in the name of religion, and it was such a big turnoff. And I've talked with people who've been hurt by the church and have blamed at times how people have used the umbrella of the Holy Spirit as justification. But the more I've been reading and studying specifically about being naturally supernatural, which is just being who God made us to be and allowing His power to flow through us, and the fullness of Christ, I had to be honest and admit that my experiences with what I was reading didn't line up with what I was experiencing, right? I was super frustrated that I was reading this. I had this huge discrepancy between what the Bible promised and what I was experiencing. But what I know now is that moment of frustration, that moment that I had an encounter with God, was an invitation from Him. An invitation to know Him at a deeper level and to grow in my intimacy with Him. And as I was reading about who He truly was, I was convinced that I quenched the work of the Holy Spirit because of my fear. Fear is often rooted in a false belief about God or ourselves. I know I inadvertently blocked His work in my life. Look, I'm a believer, so I know Jesus is in me, and I know that He's working, but He also desires for us to co-labor with Him, to actively co-labor with Him. And I know that God wants to partner with us, so that requires our invitation and our participation. So I spent some time with Him just confessing, telling Him the truth about what I was experiencing, what I was feeling. I asked for His forgiveness. I made a decision to just spend this year to really press into my relationship with Him. I asked my husband to lay hands on me, to pray, to fan the flame of His Spirit within me, and I set off on a journey to discover God's goodness and His presence. So when we set time aside for God, when we're willing to be inconvenienced in our pursuit with Him, It opens the doors to fresh encounters with the Spirit of God. And do you know the great thing about this is he never gets angry at us for our mistakes. He doesn't point a condemning finger at us, making us feel worthless or of no value. God loves moments when we realize that what we've been believing doesn't match up with who he is. He uses those moments to draw us into encounters with his presence. And as we encounter him, we get to know him and ourselves more intimately. You see, Christ is everything. He longs to saturate us with his presence. He is the one who empowers us, who renews us, and our entire existence is in him. God beckons us to be consumed with him. We can be content, but yet still contending for more of him, never settling for less than what he wants to give us, and he died to give us himself. And the Bible is full of life and truth and wisdom. And today we're going to dive in to find into Colossians, which is my new favorite book of the Bible. And it was a letter written by Paul to the Christians in Colossae. So we're going to read some from the first chapter. Your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. For in the Son, all our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. He is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God, and the firstborn heir of all creation. He is the head of his body, which is the church. And since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, he is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. For God is satisfied to have all his fullness dwelling in Christ. And even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there's nothing between you and Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. Jesus is the supreme and sovereign Lord over all creation, and we have a glorious inheritance. And our inheritance is the awareness of who we are and what we've been given access to through Christ. You have access to all that God has. You have the same relationship with the Father that Jesus had, and everything that's true about him is true of you. When we step into the family of God, there is nothing that we can do to change it. It's a covenant that the Father made with Jesus, and our inheritance is through him, and it's sealed with his blood. We didn't earn it, and we can't lose it. And our inheritance includes the forgiveness of sin. All sin, the sins of your past, the sin you're currently walking in, and the sins you have yet to commit. Your behavior doesn't determine God's love for you or how he sees you. And although we want to sit in the awareness that God's love for us doesn't change and isn't affected by our sinful behavior, we can't escape the truth that sin separates. Sin is contrary to God's nature. And he hates it for the simple reason that it separates us from him. It doesn't separate God from us, but it does put a barrier between us and God. Since before creation even began, God's desire was to have a relationship with us, a personal and intimate relationship with us. And the thing that keeps us from fully knowing God and ourselves is sin. He hates sin so much because of his deep love for us. He knows that sin's subtle trick is to entice us away from him and who we are in him. It enslaves us, and left unchecked, it can eventually destroy us. We can't afford to take sin lightly or casually dismiss our own behavior. We should hate sin as much as he does. At salvation, we come to Christ in our deep awareness of our need for a Savior. When our sinful nature comes face to face with his holiness and righteousness, we recognize our need for redemption and his saving grace. Through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, all our sins are canceled, and we have forgiveness through his very blood. Once we come into the family of God, sin becomes a foreign agent to our God-given identity. It no longer has a legal right to reside in us. Galatians 2:20 says, "My old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives, for the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the anointed one lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine." Our old man, our sinful nature, has been co-crucified with Christ, and we are a new creation in him. And God has given us a new identity. And Derek said this last week, he said, our identity in Christ is the blueprint in the heart of God when he created us, by which he longs to reveal his nature uniquely on earth. What God knows, and I think it's what's difficult for us to understand, is that we're not our sin. Sin is not our identity. I think it's hard for us to truly grasp this because this is where the enemy likes to target, because wherever sin lives, it perverts and camouflages our God-given identity. The enemy is constantly shooting lies and assaulting our efforts to walk in our new identity. And he wins if he can keep our attention on our behavior and our actions instead of Jesus' actions and what they accomplish for us. One of the biggest tricks that the enemy likes to use is to keep us focused on our bad behavior, on our mistakes, and on our sin. Because that's the place where shame, guilt, and condemnation live. We need to stop trying to fix our behavior as if we can fix anything. Change will never happen the way we want it to by trying to change our behavior. If you're constantly focused on your behavior, your attention remains there. And you might think that this is a crazy statement, but God doesn't want all your attention on your sin. God isn't dealing with your sin. God isn't dealing with your sin because Jesus already dealt with it. He already paid the price for it. And God's not going to keep resurrecting Jesus in order to try to prove something to us. By focusing on our sins, our mistakes, and our bad behavior, we keep trying to fix the old man. Trying in our own power to fix things that are not fixable. Stop looking at your old man. The old man is dead. Jesus isn't addressing your old man. He's not talking to your old man. He's intent on leading you into your new identity, into your new identity in him. He is only speaking to your new man. And God knows it's an impossible task for you to change your behavior on your own. So when you're walking in sin and he wants to address it, he speaks to your identity, not to your sin. He doesn't cast condemnation on you because of your selfishness. He calls you to love. He doesn't rebuke you for your anger. He calls you to kindness and patience. He doesn't blame you for making mistakes. He calls you holy and righteous. And he doesn't reject you. He calls you chosen and accepted and his. God is constantly pulling you, revealing to you, empowering you to receive a new aspect of your identity in him, one that will conquer that area of sin in your life. He addresses your sin through your identity. Here's some of the things that he says. He says, you are righteous in Christ. You are a child of God and an heir to God. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You are a temple of God. You are set free from sin and a slave of righteousness. You are free from condemnation. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. You are accepted by Christ. And you are complete in Christ. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says that for he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form. And our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows from within us, and he is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. All of the Father's attributes, every perfect aspect, the very essence of who he is, are all gloriously displayed in Christ. The fullness of the Father took up residence in Jesus, and when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we are also fully complete. Not in the sense that we become like God, but that we are alive and empowered as his presence permeates our lives. In Christ, we are complete. Through Jesus, we have every hope, every truth, everything that we could possibly need. And as we recognize our completeness in him, it safeguards us against the lies of the enemy. It voids the power of the lies that get thrown our way. 2 Peter 1:3 says, everything that we ever could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all of this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glory manifestation of his goodness. Transformation explodes within you when you start letting go of the remnants of the old man that you've been holding on to, and you receive the very nature of God that he longs to unleash within you. And it begins with an invitation asking God to fill you, to replace something in you that's still connected to your old man, to root it out, and to fill you with his fullness and with his nature. Now, I'm a visual person and a risk taker, so we're going to do a demonstration of what this looks like in our daily lives. So my great husband is going to come out and help us. Give him a hand. Every time we come into the awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit, there is something that he wants to give us, something that he wants us to receive. And we're going to pretend that this iPhone is the goodness that God wants to give Gary. And Gary wants to receive it because he knows how valuable it is. And when God invites us to come to him, he invites us to bring all of ourselves to him. And sometimes we come so heavy laden that it makes receiving from God extremely difficult. We come to him with our worries, with our fears, with our doubts, with our shame. We come with our busyness, our sin, unforgiveness. But in order to receive from God, we have to be willing to let go of those things. Because those things are the remnants of the old man. And you cannot hold the old man and the new revelation that God wants to give you at the same time. The revelation that God's given you brings healing and restoration. So we have to actively release the things to receive from God. We can't hold both. Oh, almost. Give him a hand. Thank you. He's a good sport because neither one of us are sporty. This is a risk, I have to tell you. Your journey of faith with God is you co-laboring together as you continuously confess and repent the things that are separating you from God. Confession is just you telling God the truth, telling him your experience, why you're feeling the things that you're feeling, and what are you holding on to. Repentance is changing the way that you're thinking and aligning your thoughts to God's truth. It's actively releasing the things that you're holding on to. And when you receive a new revelation of who God is, it comes with power attached to it, and that power will transform your life and your circumstances. Several weeks ago, I had this example, this conversation with God in my personal life. I'm a mom of three kids, and my youngest, Grace, is a high school senior, and she is amazing. She's smart, and she's funny, and she loves Jesus so much. But any parent of a high school senior will tell you that at some point of that senior year, they're just over everything. Right? They're done with school. They're tired of getting up and going every morning. And Grace is super stressed out about what's next. And those are the things that she's carrying. I'm carrying my own stuff, right? She's my last one. The empty nest is looming really close. I love being a mom. And so it's made conversation between Grace and myself extremely challenging. And so one morning I was sitting and praying, and I wrote Grace's name down in my journal. And I said, God, I know that with this tension, with this conflict that Grace and I are having, that you have a promise attached to the conflict. We cannot have a negative circumstance in our life without a promise that God is attached to it. We just got to open our eyes and ask him and connect with his spirit to discover what it is. So I was asking God, God, I give you grace. What is it that you want me to have in replace of that? And immediately he said, joy. So I wrote joy next to her name. And then I kind of scoffed a little bit because I'm like, joy, have you tried having a conversation with her lately? Immediately I felt a check, and God said, this is not about grace. It's about you, right? I want you to be joyful. So the next couple of days, I was very intent on being joyful around her, being super engaging and laughing and happy and relaxed. And what I found was that over time, it became more natural. I didn't have to try any longer. And then one morning, again, I was sitting in my chair as she was getting ready for school, and she came down into the living room. She saw me. She looked me in the eye. She put a smile on her face, and she said, hey. And I'm like, that had never happened before. Any parent of a kid going to school, they're never happy in the morning. And so what I noticed over the next few days was she was extremely happy. So much so that I asked her, I said, hey, I don't want this to sound awkward, but have you noticed that you're happy? And she said, yeah, it's weird. And so she just started telling me what God was doing in her. And it's so beautiful. I asked her to write up exactly what happened to her, and I wanted to share it with you. And she said, I was going through some very rough things, things that I experienced before, but this time it felt like everything was piling on top of me and I couldn't breathe. I felt hurt that God would let this happen to me, and I went to a dark place feeling like the world was against me. I took my anger and my pain out on other people. And I kept praying for God to shed some light on my situation and help me. I wanted him to answer that prayer right then. I didn't want to wait. But then I started going to the Hearing God class in the middle of this. And on the last week of the class, we did a forgiveness listening prayer. I was able to not only forgive some people I've been carrying on my back, but also myself. And after that, I felt like I could finally breathe. That night, I prayed. And I felt like God was telling me that he was preparing me for something, but he needed to shave off some things in order to get me to his vision. You see, I was only seeing the picture that was right in front of me, but God was looking at the big picture. I'm on a level 1, and I want to get to a level 10, but God wants me to go through the rest of the levels for me to be fully prepared for level 10. After that prayer, I honestly just started to feel better. I woke up the next morning refreshed, and I felt at peace. God gave me hope for the future and what he had planned for me. After that, I just started being happier. It's hard to explain, but I just felt good about everything around me. My mindset changed, and even though things aren't always perfect, I now feel like I'm able to have a new perspective. You know, bringing our stuff to God and asking him to replace it with his truth brings transformation. So often we want God to address the issue and the challenge that we're facing, and God wants to do that as well, but he also wants to do something in us. And that's where real transformation happens. Overflowing in the fullness of Christ is the place where the truth of your identity anchors in. It's transformation, and transformation cannot be contained. That's what overflows from within you. God's nature cannot be contained in you. It's been inside of you waiting for this moment to come alive, something peaceful, something joyful, generous and kind and loving, something that builds and strengthens and gives you the capacity to stand firm in God's power and his presence. We were designed to live from the overflow of our walk with Jesus. And this is how we come to experience the fullness of Christ, by letting him unveil new places in our hearts that he wants to divine and possess. Our walk with Jesus is him just breaking walls and barriers and buildings, everything in us that we set up for false beliefs and false identities. As surely as he's removed the power of our sin from our lives, he also wants to give us a new identity in him. We were made to live in his presence, to walk in the peace and the power as he designed us to be. And I believe that that's God's heart for us. So as we close this morning, I know that if I was able to look into the spiritual realm, that we all came in carrying something. Whether it's fear or doubt or conflict or tension, could be sin or unforgiveness. Something that God wants you to let go of. A remnant of your old man that doesn't belong in the new you. And he wants to give you a truth, a new revelation of who you are and who he is in you. So as close, I just want us to press into that a little bit and pray together and ask God to reveal these things to our hearts. So Father God, we just come before you and so thankful that we are chosen, that you claim us, that we belong to the Almighty God of creation. I thank you for your new identity that's alive inside of us, that we are new creations and we cannot fail. So Lord, we just come before you now and we offer up this situation that we're walking through. And Lord, we know that wherever there's pain and heartache, that we know that there is a truth, a promise that's attached to it, that a negative circumstance cannot come our way without you being right with it to reveal to us your nature in us. And so, Lord, what is it that you want us to receive from you today? Holy Spirit, we just thank you. We thank you for the ability to hear your voice. We thank you for the ability to receive your truth. And God, we just seal in the work that was done here today, and we ask you that you empower us to live it out as we bring you glory, as your presence and your spirit are just poured into this world. We love you, Father. We praise you and we honor you. Amen.